Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. There is a big game today, people. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you care and some of you do not care. Some of you are aware of that the New England Patriots, maybe they should be patriarchs, the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles are playing today. So on this big game day, the hype of the Super Bowl led me to wonder, what games did Jesus play? Did he stop to play checkers between his healing of Simon's mother-in-law and the evening bombardment of people when the whole city gathered around the door in search of healing and wholeness? Today's gospel gives us a glimpse into the daily life of Jesus, a 24-hour window, the needs of others always on his radar. The day started with Jesus and his disciples leaving the synagogue, then going over to Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was sick, as we heard, with a fever. And the compassionate Jesus, without saying a word, simply and tenderly took her hand and lifted her up, lifted the illness right out of her. No fanfare, a loving moment, restoring someone to wholeness. And she responded with no fanfare and resumed what meant the most to her, taking care of others, being of service, and in so doing, embodying the ideal of discipleship. It is seamless. Like a dance of grace, from one position to another, from sickness to health, from receiving to giving. And our way of life is meant to be that seamless too, giving and receiving, receiving and giving, like Jesus who came to serve and not be served. Yet, no one can give and give and not become utterly depleted. The well can run dry. So we hear of Jesus the next morning when it was very dark, going off by himself to just be alone, to renew in prayer, in the healing presence of nature. Besides hearing of Jesus going off to a deserted place to pray, I wonder what else did he do to keep himself balanced, to keep his life force recharged, his spirit renewed? Did Jesus stop to play checkers sometime during that day? Did Simon's mother-in-law see the guys gathered around the game table and offer them beers, pita bread, and hummus? So what did Jesus play when he was growing up? What did Jesus play to become the balanced man of such depth, radical compassion, joy, and love that others wanted to follow him? Therefore, I find it essential to appreciate the humanness of Jesus. I'd like you to imagine there were ancient games and the fun that Jesus may have had playing with his family and friends, probably without footballs. It is hard to know for sure what games Jesus played because the Bible doesn't talk about them. But we do know that at the time of Jesus, children and adults played. When archaeologists looked at the geographical area where Jesus lived, they found dice games that might be like the game Yahtzee. At the time of Jesus, they also found things like whistles, spinning tops, and carved animals on wheels. These toys and games are made from things like ivory, stone, and wood. And we know that the father of Jesus was a carpenter. So can you imagine the cute wooden toys that Joseph carved for Jesus when Jesus was a child? Now, older children and adults played different kinds of board games. There was a game called Hounds and Jackals that may have been played like we play checkers. Athletic competitions, similar to our modern-day track and field events, were often held, including foot races. So, did Jesus ever dash to a destination? Did a disciple or two ever dare him in a foot race to be the first one to run to the shade of a tree or the well for a drink of water? Jesus, in his human body, traveled. He went from place to place, through towns and villages, over hills and across valleys. And Jesus would stop to catch his breath. We know he rested by the well of the Samaritan woman. It's in the Gospel of John. Therefore, he might also have sat to play checkers and to tease and to laugh and to love, all in a balanced daily way of life. Yet Jesus passionately believed in his purpose, the reason he was alive. In another gospel, in fact, it is written that zeal for God's house consumed him, that his food was to do the will of God. But Jesus was not a workaholic. He was such a balanced human being. Others were always attracted to him. Others wanted to hear him, see him, and touch him. Yet he would get up early in the morning, go off to pray, to be renewed, so he could pay attention, be faithful, and available through the grace of that new day. We need to hear of his daily life so we can do what Jesus did, love God, love others, and serve the world, and pray, all in a balanced way. But Jesus was not a 24-hour healing, preaching, and teaching machine. In other gospel stories, we hear of his invitations to dinners, to weddings, of breaking bread and drinking wine, and saying to us, "Do this in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of Jesus, through our baptism, we are called to carry on the loving and healing ministry of Jesus. Because we each have a purpose, no matter how young or old. In this gospel, we have a glimpse of the effect of Jesus living his purpose. It was amazing. So amazing, the whole city wanted him to stay. They wanted more of him. When he was at his morning prayer, the disciples found him and told him this. But Jesus knew he needed to move on because Jesus was driven by his primary call to further the kingdom of God rather than be influenced by the acclamation of the crowd. And so Jesus continued on throughout all of Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons, the darkness, the illnesses, the mental, emotional, and physical issues that kept people from a spirit-filled, abundant life. The healings of Jesus were not random acts of charity. The healing of Simon's mother-in-law was a part of the revelation of God's intentions. What God wants for us is not merely the absence of physical disease, but the absence of disease in our spiritual lives, sin, whatever blocks the flow of God's love and divine energy. Because God wants all of us to experience spiritual vitality. That was the spark, the healing presence, the holy freedom that people wanted more of. Do you hunger for Jesus? Do you hunger for a spiritual vitality? Because this is what Jesus came to do. He came to heal the world, not only of its illnesses, but of the unhealthy subjugations they faced, especially at that time from the Roman Empire. Jesus offered an alternative way to live life and to love in the midst of oppression and oppressive systems. Do we understand the issues we face today that need our Christian response? Now, in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah indicates that God knows the physical, emotional, and mental challenges we face and the constant need to be renewed. At the end of Isaiah, we hear, "Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Jesus was a young man when he embraced these 24-hour days of ministry moments. The prophet Isaiah describes how tired one can become. And we hear of the power of God's grace. It will help us soar like an eagle. Which brings me back to the beginning of this sermon. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, the football game between the Eagles and the Patriots. I must confess that I'm going to go with the prophet Isaiah and root for the Eagles. Just saying, in Scripture. But more importantly, continuing what Jesus did, remembering that same passage from Isaiah, and wait upon God. Let us each find our way to wait upon God, that we may serve with the power, the joy, and the love of Jesus. So whether you watch the Super Bowl game this afternoon, or find someone to share a game of checkers, be spiritually alive in the moment and go forth to love and serve as Jesus did. Amen.